Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Heidi. I have met some of you. I have not met others. Normally, you'll find me behind the keys, and what a joy it is to be standing upright and taking full breaths in my lungs and not sitting like that. I don't know how else to describe it, the letter L. If you have spent any moment of time with me, you know I love to have a chat. And praise the Lord, I have a job that requires me to talk a lot, all day, every day. And one of the things that I do in my work is I work as a maternal and child health nurse on a national health service line. And we specialise in pregnancy and young children. And I have the joy of describing rashes over the phone. Now, I don't work with other rashes, just with childhood rashes. And I just thought I'd put that out there because people think I love a chat about anything. I do have boundaries. Thanks for asking. Describing things over the phone is not something that is easy. Would you believe it or not? We love to deal with a little bit of eczema, hives, prickly rash, heat rash, viral rash, you name it, we've discussed it and described it. Common childhood skin conditions, quite easy, generally speaking, to cure. Bit of a cream from the pharmacist, lifestyle changes, that kind of thing. I don't know about you, but this photo makes me itchy. We will remove it in just a brief moment. But you know what's not the same and easy as this? Leprosy. Not the same bag at all. And this is who we meet today in Mark chapter 1. A man described as having leprosy, which carried a lot of social stigma and was seen as both a physical and a spiritual ailment. But with today's medical advances, we now know it's a chronic but curable condition caused by slow growing bacteria that affects mainly the skin, the eyes, and the peripheral nerves. But most importantly, it's treatable with antibiotics, multi-drugs, and if caught early, disability can be minimized. However, back in the biblical times, their understanding was obviously nowhere near the same as modern day times. And people affected with this condition, which obviously was quite physically present on their skin, were shunned from society, often isolated outside of the city gates, in colonies together, considered unclean, unwanted by society. No social interaction with their families and their loved ones. Couldn't breathe the same air as the people inside the city gates, couldn't be in the same space as them. It was also thought that God was punishing you for your sins. So not only were you physically contagious, but spiritually contagious as well. Obviously, neither of those things are accurate, but that is what the thought was. When I was growing up, I really struggled to identify with stories in the Bible because modern time and biblical time being quite vastly apart from each other. Rowing the boat across the lake was not relatable content to me. And though I have done some hiking in my time, it's a little different to a three-day wilderness journey. Unfortunately, upon reflection, I feel like that is no longer the case. And we do have a little bit of an understanding about what this gentleman was going through. In the height of COVID lockdowns here in Melbourne, we were all isolated, alone, and lonely. Couldn't be in the same place as other people, separated from loved ones. And I think just even looking at that photo can have quite a visceral reaction for a few of us. So although it is not the same, I feel like we have just a little bit of an understanding of the desperation that this man had. He needed compassion. He needed somebody to go out of their way to help him, to understand him, to empathize him. And he recognized this in Jesus. I've picked a different translation today, which you'll see as we move through. And a leper came to him, begging him, falling on his knees before him, Jesus, saying, "If you are willing, you are able to make me clean." It's a very bold move on the part of the leper. As an unclean person, how dare he get close to somebody clean? And he would have known that as well. In the reading that Liz brought, verse 41 said, Jesus was indignant. And the NIV translates this word indignant as the sense of being strongly moved. It's very likely that this is Jesus' response, a powerful anger at God's creation, which was good, being sullied by something so broken. Which is where we get the translation from the Amplified Version in verse 41, saying, "He was moved with compassion for the man's suffering. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, 'I'm willing, be cleansed.' The leprosy left him immediately and he was cleansed, completely healed and restored to health." So we know that people with leprosy were excluded from public life in order to protect society. They didn't understand what it was, but we remove the unclean thing. They were ritually impure as a result of their disease. But we also know that Jesus frequently associated with others who were considered unclean, ritually unclean, sinners, irresponsible people. And Jesus chose to reach out his hand, risking contamination, as it were, by touching the unclean man. Demonstrated how he did not agree with the societal laws of the time, knowing that this man needed more. He needed more than just physical healing. He needed that kind word and that welcoming, simple gesture. In our growth group last year, we studied part of this verse, Exodus 34, 6. Verse 41 said, "Moved with compassion." Here is more of that compassion. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth," or faithfulness. We sat and reflected what it looked like to have a compassionate and gracious God. And today I'm bringing you a few examples from around the Bible, a whip-around tour, as it were. Some examples in the Old Testament showcasing God's compassion. Also in Exodus, described as given freely and tenderly, Exodus 33:19. "And the Lord said, 'I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.'" There is the tender and freely given compassion. Also described as being new every morning, Lamentations 3:22. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His compassions never fail because they are never changing. He is never changing. And each new day is a reminder that while the day might look different and time might be moving forward, God's character is never different. These Old Testament references are focusing on God's character as a whole. We can move to the New Testament and have a look as part of Jesus' ministry where their compassion is focused on people. The helpless crowd in Mark chapter 6:34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And seeing the blind men, Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. So when we go back and have a look at verse 34 and it says, "moved with compassion," kind of makes you wonder, well, we know Jesus is always compassionate, so why is he suddenly moved towards compassion? And I really feel like the situation isn't showing a change in God's character, because we know that that is not a thing, but it's highlighting. It's highlighting what it looks like to be fully God and fully human at the same time. Being fully God, he had head knowledge that this man needed help. He knew what the man needed. He knew what the man was going through. But it's really not enough, is it? To show us that when Jesus walked on the earth, he understood. He became fully human. And as a fully human person, he had a heart reaction, showing human emotions towards this man. He was demonstrating the depth and sincerity of his compassion in this moment and showing that he cared and understood on a human level what the man was asking for. And in reaching out to touch him, he broke through that social barrier and he answered the man's question. The man said, "Are you willing?" And he said, "I am. I am willing." And then he healed him. This beginning part of Mark is really showcasing Jesus' active ministry, the start of the ministry. The Bible Project describes it as Mark showing Jesus to us and then people's reactions to what Jesus was doing. And we see emphasis on Jesus as a healer, but also his divine authority over spiritual and physical realms. In this moment, Jesus was offering spiritual restoration at the same time as the physical healing. This man was burdened by his condition in a way that we cannot begin to understand. Certainly not in its entirety, given modern times. He was away from his family, couldn't practice his religion, banned from the temple, unclean. And Jesus gave him the practical support that he was seeking. He was so desperate to receive it, the healing of this condition, but also the alleviation of his burden. And the beginning of Luke chapter 7 shows Jesus healing the centurion's son. Servant. Healing the centurion's servant without being in the same place as him. And so we know that Jesus didn't need to touch the man with leprosy in order to heal him. In fact, he actually wasn't supposed to. That was not what you did. You did not touch the person with the leprosy. But he chose to do that. He chose to break the rules. And he showed the man how important and valuable he was as a person, as an individual, as somebody who did not currently fit into society. Verse 43 continues, "And Jesus, deeply moved, admonished him sternly and sent him away immediately, saying to him, 'See that you tell no one about this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your purification what Moses commanded, as proof to them that you really are healed.'" So we see a little bit of a contrast here in language between verse 41 and 43. We've got the "I am willing," open language with a very compassionate heart, contrasting with the verse 43, "admonished him sternly." Just doesn't really vibe in the same way. In this context, I believe it's coming across as a firm instruction, an emphasized command given by Jesus that has two parts to it, as we can see. Firstly, Jesus gives the man a command to keep quiet about his healing. And secondly, in order to be brought back into society, the man was required to be declared clean again by the priest. Having been considered unclean due to his condition, the man was now able to go and fulfill the religious requirements of the day, go present himself to the priest, who was also the medical examiner in this case, and the priest would check over the man's skin, offer a sacrifice on his behalf, and declare him clean again to be able to enter into society. The second part of this instruction, go show yourself to the priest, was known by the man. We can assume that because in being isolated, he then had a way to come back to the fold again, as it were. But the first part of the instruction that says, see that you tell no one anything, he didn't have any explanation to it. It's just a firm instruction. What might seem like a change of compassionate heart is really no different to a parent speaking with a child and trying to get their attention. Back in school, they used to love to say, turn on your listening ears. And whilst that does not translate the same in this context, it's a similar flow. It's a similar feel. Are you looking at me? Show me that you're listening. Jesus does not change his nature. His approach to his early ministry time had strategy. He didn't need to give a reason why he was telling the man to do what he was telling him to do. Jesus was quite capable of considering the immediate needs of the people in front of him, as well as the broader mission needs, the strategic approach, as it were. I really enjoyed listening to Phil's sermon from last week, and so I will now openly plagiarise, because he summarised it so well. And I think it really fits here to help us see this as a complete picture. Jesus could definitely have healed each and every one of the people in the area, but that would never stop them from getting sick again, and it wouldn't stop them from dying in the future at some point in their lives. And it really wasn't the main goal of Jesus' ministry time here on earth. It was to call people into the kingdom of God, to make a way for people's sin to be dealt with by Jesus dying on the cross for them and for us now. So Jesus gave the man an instruction and then he let him go, knowing full well that he would not stay quiet. It's a beautiful demonstration of how God gives us that free will. He knows we're not always going to follow the right path or the instruction that was given, but we continue to be given a choice. Verse 45, but he went out, began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news of his healing to such an extent that Jesus could no longer openly enter a city where he was known, but stayed out in the unpopulated places. Yet people were still coming to him from everywhere. So the man made a choice to shout it from the rooftops, proverbially, probably not literally. He chose not to stay quiet, let everyone know around him that he was healed, a very natural reaction to good news. Sharing it with everyone around you, posting it on social media, #blessed. And it's worth noting the tension here between disobedience of the instruction that was given and the consequence of his actions. Even though it made sense and it was in line with human nature for him to do what he did, regardless of his motives, he actively disobeyed. And the consequence of that was that Jesus was no longer able to go into the cities as he intended, but was rather required to stay outside of the city gates. A lot of that to do with the fact that the priests of the time would have known who he was and the healings that he was doing, because he was sending people to the priest to be ritually cleaned. And of course, what would your reaction be? How are you clean? Last time I saw you, you were not. The man Jesus did it. However, even though the plan was interrupted and it did have to change, God was all-knowing because he never changes, and he was unsurprised by this event. This verse says that the people did not stop finding him, so the plan continued, just a little bit altered, not quite the original intention. Because nothing will derail a plan that God has set in motion, but sometimes things need to be interrupted in order for a change to occur so that no one is left behind. Compassionate acts flow from compassionate people. So it's no surprise to see that having compassion is part of God's very being. And as imitators of Christ, we're called to follow the examples of compassion in Scripture to build a more compassionate community around us. I brought a prop today because why not? It's the latest copy of the Australian Nursing Journal. Nikki knows what's up. It's required bedtime reading for those of us in the trade. And there was an article in it that caught my attention, mainly because this is Heather. And I used to work with Heather back in ye old days. I can say that having had several career changes in my very young life, like so young. And Heather is an extraordinary midwife. She retired recently, but at age 54, she says in the article, there was more that I could do. I wasn't doing enough. There must be something else that I can do. And so she joined Médecins Sans Frontières and used her skills to go and midwife in war-torn countries, South Sudan, Somalia, Ivory Coast, just to name a few places, often without electricity, literally conducting operations in the dark with head torches. And not everybody survived, because that is medicine for you. But she spent 10 years on various mission trips, giving of her compassionate heart, giving of her skills, giving of her time, putting herself in danger regularly, having escorts with people with guns just to get them from one place to another. And she has published a memoir called Sweating Bullets, Mopping Blood. And if that doesn't grab your attention and add to cart immediately, I don't know what will. There's some real bedtime reading for you. It's also a bit of midwife humour there, so I'm sure you can appreciate as well. Now, obviously, this is not always relatable to all of us. This is an incredibly large-scale example of somebody who made a choice that would have impacted themselves, their family around them, but they made a choice to do something with what God had given them. And I think when we reflect on local examples, we often feel like, well, that's just not for me, it's not relatable. But I think in the weeks following on from the Black Saturday fires, we saw many local examples, compassionate outpourings of resources, time, love, support to those who no longer had homes or those who weren't sure whether they had homes. And we saw in a very real way that there are many ways to be intentional with our interactions with people. At the November AGM, Megan presented us with the Be the Church. It's too many those. We can be the church, and there are many ways that we can do that. Our compassionate hearts have seen the launch of many ministries in this place. Our everyday church life highlights how it's possible to be the church by giving to the Link Pantry, joining in the English language classes, phone calls to housebound or elderly people in our congregation, joining in prayer together at Encounter Nights tomorrow, or joining the prayer WhatsApp chain. There are many ways that God is calling us to have a positive impact. Because regardless of how scaled it is, whether it is large scale or small scale, we are called to be the church, to show people God's love in a practical way, in a prayerful way. And so we ask this February, how can you be the church? How can you sit in a prayerful mindset and have a look at the form that's in Across the Creek and say, Lord, where do you need me now? Because as we spend the next couple of months at Encounter Nights praying for revival, praying for people to come to Christ to know him as their saviour, this is one way that we can point people towards Jesus. So as we conclude our series, we look at how we can be the church, how we can give strength to people who are weary, But we know that it's not just by works. That's not possible. In the same way that Jesus could heal everyone, our job is to point people towards the one who can give full spiritual restoration. So the revolution is coming, but spiritual restoration is found in Jesus alone. Amen.